Sorry about that.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now. And they're off. The National Dog off to a flying start there, bolting out ahead. And, oh, what's this? Looks like several of the Labour Dogs have given up racing entirely, instead choosing to walk around in circles, occasionally biting each other. Surely that's counterproductive. Meanwhile, I don't believe this. The Act Dog, honestly one of the shittiest little dogs I've ever seen, has managed to pull himself to the front by biting onto the tail of the National Dog. He's literally being dragged to a podium finish. Here they come now, down the stretch. It's the National Dog way out in front, followed by the parasitic little scamp from Act and some old man wearing a bow tie. Following him is a bright-eyed hermit.
The parasitic little scamp from Act. I've been looking up at that Act billboard in my local electorate. That young go-getter. Do you know who I mean?
Yes.
Oh, well, David, what's his name? And he just looking down his nose at me. And I thought, how act of you. Hey, hello, Rod. Nice to meet you. This is today. Nice to meet you on the morning of the budget morning.
It is. For nerdy people like me, it's a great and fascinating morning.
So tell us why. So you woke up this morning, for a second you didn't remember it was budget day, but then boom, and then you thought to yourself, what is it that starts the excitement welling? Is it the idea that the government might have their head screwed on properly, and they've got the right focus, and the money's all going to go in all the right places, or is it, wow, what are they going to bugger up this time?
No, it's rather more a case of optimism. But the beautiful thing about budgets is it lays out exactly where the government thinks all the money is going to come from and where it's going to spend it. So it gives you a very clear roadmap, a very clear architecture. So it shows you their priorities. And also there's a great deal of transparency there. One of my favourite bits is all the footnotes at the back showing all the if, buts and ands and, you know, the extra sums of money they've tucked away because of court cases or whatever. So we in New Zealand do budgets very well in that sense, very clear, very transparent, some of the best in the world. And so it's this amazing glimpse at billions, tens of billions of dollars of our money.
Now, when you say that what the government plans to do with it, they could only be the government for another 4 months.
Well, that's indeed how it might turn out. I'm not banking on anything. I'm not forecasting anything. But of course, they've got to plan as if they're going to be in government in 4 months' time,
yep.
Because you're going to be a real bugger's muddle if you come in with no plans at all. And so the big task for them is that it's been in power a long time, this government, and therefore it's got to show that it's still got some fresh ideas. And of course, this time around, it's got some real money to spend because the economy is going well, and the revised forecast will show some really big surpluses. And so quite how it spends that money, we've got a pretty good idea because they've already told us most of it. Is the very interesting thing to watch today.
And now they've sort of given it a few nicknames, this budget, but what's the social investment budget or the social, what is it? Does it?
Yeah, there's a big emphasis on that, and it's the idea.
That's the PR, though, isn't it? That's just PR. Budget PR.
Yeah, there's always a crazy catch line that I'm sure that the finance minister who chooses it thinks it's really cool, but the rest of us tend to roll our eyes a bit at it. But social investment is really important. It's the idea that if you can identify the people who are really at risk, particularly young in their lives, and come around them with all the right support they need to be able to cope with life, live well, work well, then they will be much less of a burden on taxpayers and the welfare state later.
As everybody cheers and toots their horns with excitement about that, does anybody go, how come those people weren't catered for in the first place? And what happened to, and wasn't it National that took a whole bunch of money back off those places where we were sort of nurturing people and looking after people that maybe needed looking after and giving people support that needed support, you know?
Yep, and the derisory little bit of money in the last budget that was the first increase in family allowance for however many decades it was. And so if the government's true to its word, it would increase that again today rather than make it a one-off last year. Yes, that's all true. But of course, it's also a question of how we did that. We didn't have the tools to do that well in the past. One of the very useful things Bill English has done, did as finance minister, was to work with people to... Sorry, here comes the you know, the big cliche, to do the big data analysis to find out what factors work there. And
grown up accounting, big grown up accounting, is what you're saying.
No, it's real insight actually, the only caution I have about it is that it's reducing people to numbers and categories and factors. So I hope in this whole process we don't lose track of the fact that these are real people.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of the mental health problem we have in this country at the moment, which is I think it's going to become an election issue. I predict, actually.
I think it could well do, because what we're seeing is an increasing amount of information out of the police showing us how much of their work is directly related to that. It's an astonishing proportion of their activity. So we have seriously lost the plot on that. But
a lot of money got taken out of that sector by National initially. You know, and it's kind of a long time ago now, isn't it? It was a different party. Was it a different party then?
You're a very different party. Yeah. But again, there's the same theme that what we thought was a good way to do stuff, i.e. get people out of institutions and back into the community and all that kind of stuff, was a good idea in many respects. But I would argue we never brought in enough support around those people and those communities, and that's where people have with mental health issues have really suffered.
Now, you would imagine that the budget would be, especially budget this close to an election, would just be full of little treats for the greedy shopper. But Sean Joyce, Stephen Joyce has said that Finance Minister Stephen Joyce has said that there won't be a lolly scramble. There's not going to be a whole bunch of things to entice you to vote National, like those funny little tax cuts they had those times. But there's, you know, that's going to be a good honest budget. Surely they'd be stupid not to chuck a couple of sweeties in there for the kids, wouldn't they?
Oh no, there's lots of sweeties for people of all ages and all sexes.
All right, what about you? What's in there for you personally?
Not a great deal, actually, given my age.
Because I've looked for me as well. I'm not so, nothing for me there either. So.
But what I would be very keen on as I get older is to make sure the health system keeps performing very well, which it does. When we compare our health outcomes here with other countries, there's great comparative data, we do very well. But I see firsthand the stresses and strains on doctors and nurses and hospitals. You know, Starship is bursting at the seams with new admissions, even though we're not in the winter period yet.
The people that work there are absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And so some very serious money and strategic money, not just sort of, you know, more money for some more elective surgery, but some real strategic money to help relieve those strains in the health sector would be a very big one for me.
Right. Now, there's all these things that have come out that are going to be in the budget. Why do they release things in advance and when, you know, the whole thing's embargoed until later this afternoon? But what's the point of chucking out a couple of amendment info to the peeps about what's going on in the budget early on? And then why not just chuck it all out one go? You know,
it's pure PR, because for 2 or 3 weeks now, there's just been this rolling number of stories coming through, and it's kind of one thing at a time, so that thing gets a little bit of publicity and then move on to the next. If it was all in one big bang this afternoon, most of that would be lost. Most of that wouldn't be reported. So that's the reason for doing that.
Right.
But there's still some big things to watch out for today. The main one, of course, is the economic forecast, because that will show us how much money the government or Treasury thinks the government's going to be getting. And that's going to be a very big number and a big increase from the last forecast 6 months ago, and that will be absolutely crucial to the room for manoeuvre National Party has to offer some big tax cuts when we get to the election.
Right. Okay. I wanted to ask you about the student versus the minister. There's Hamilton student Sarah Thompson has taken the government to the High Court about their attitude towards climate change. The lack of action. Now, John Key said it was described it as a joke. Is it a joke? Has she got a point?
She's going to be, and her legal team, because she's well backed by lawyers, is going to argue a very substantial and interesting case. The government's response so far is to say, well, we've got an ambitious and fair target for the Paris Agreement, which actually isn't true. We are well down the rankings of countries on that. But the point is, all the evidence from the government shows how our trajectory for emissions is going up. and nothing about policy is actually going to start bringing it down. Now, Paula Bennett's promising big policy stuff on that in the middle of the year, but we're almost there now. It's going to come in the next couple of months. But New Zealand is very seriously off track for delivering on the promises made at Paris. And so that's where Sarah's got an extremely interesting case. There have been ones like this overseas, a very famous one in Holland about 3 years ago now, which found the government was guilty of that, and it forced some changes in government policy. So I think Sarah's doing a very sensible...
Good on her, eh? That's really cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool.
And if she wins, she's not going to win anything for herself, but she will hopefully put a rocket under the backside of the government to pick up their game and stop saying that they're doing lots when they're doing not much.
She would. The big gain is that she would help us win a future.
Oh, thank you, Rod. Oh, I like the way you said that. Hey, thank you very much, Rod Oram. Thank you for talking to us this morning.
My great pleasure.
We'll talk again. We'll talk politics. Thank you. Bye-bye. And happy budget.
Yeah, indeed. Woohoo.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.